So Matthew 6, I'm going to start in verse 6. When you pray, go to your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. See, that's kind of an answer to verse 5 where he says, when you pray, they're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. God doesn't intend prayer as a way to enhance your spiritual resume. He intends for prayer to be something that comes from the heart, something that begins to bring a change, but it's to bring a change to you. It's not even prudent a lot of times to display these things among everybody else. What he was talking about, the hypocritical part of it that he was talking about, was that they would come and pray and make these long prayers, but they wouldn't change. They did it to be seen doing it, not for there to be a change, not for there to be a recognition in their own soul of what was being prayed. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they so suppose that they will be heard for their many words. That meaningless repetition can also be foolish speaking or worldly speaking. But see, this is part of the way that cults were being started in that day, actually even in today, where they would just begin to chant and they begin to just do things that would, you know, incite the emotions without actually engaging anything. And this is part of what he's warning them against. But it's also necessary for this to recognize who it is that we're worshiping, who it is we're praying to. And verse 8 says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. See, the purpose of prayer is not to present some big list. The purpose of prayer, of the Lord's Prayer, was not to be repeated just as it is, but to give you a protocol. To give you a protocol, a means and a method by which you can begin to contact your Holy Father. Because see, the purpose of prayer is to move you into an encounter with Him. He already knows what you need. So He's not looking for a list of the things that you need and the things that you want to change. He knows all that you need and He knows what's best for you even beyond what you know. He gave us the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues so that we would pray not just the selfish prayers of man, but we would pray according to the Spirit of God. So we could actually lift up those things and be changed and transformed. I mean, we may be thinking that, hey, I'm praying for a new Cadillac. And he's praying that you just quit beating your wife. That's what Dave used to always say. And I can't improve on it, so I'm going to stay on it. And after we saw that miracle the other day, I'm really staying on it. Because until I can just hug somebody and they start getting up and walking, I mean, that's awesome. Anybody didn't get to see that video, we'll see if we can rerun that maybe after service. But it was awesome. But prayer is intended to establish a relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. And that's the purpose of it. And that's the goal of it, is to establish a relationship and begin to take you into an encounter with the Most Holy God. Why would we want to do that? Well, because it's a means of direction. Because instead of us telling Him what we need, maybe the process was really supposed to be Him showing us what we need. When a missile is launched, one of the self-guided missiles, and they have some tremendous ones these days, that where they can put it through a window from a plane that's flying by at 2,000 miles an hour, and they can put it through a window on a particular house in a particular neighborhood. But you know how that thing works? They launch it, and they just kind of kick it out the door, and it knows where its coordinates are right now. It knows where the coordinates are, where it's going. And it just checks in and says, okay, I'm heading that way. Then a few milliseconds later, it checks in again and says, I'm heading this way, and oh, I need to actually make a little course correction. Now I'm heading this way, and a few milliseconds later, it makes another course correction. And what you have is a slightly zigzaggy path, depending on how well it was launched in the first place, of going where it's supposed to be going. Because it continually checks in to see, okay, I'm here and I'm supposed to be there. That looks like so much of our own walk in the Spirit. I'm here and uh-oh, I was supposed to be there. Okay, course correction. Walk a little more on my own, get over here. Oh, I need a course correction. The whole purpose of prayer is that's those course corrections. It's not about us offering up and saying, here's my list, God, fix all these things. It's about, God, here I am. Where am I supposed to be? Help me to find that course, Lord. Because I know you are the ultimate path of life. And if I can stay with you, I'm staying on that path of life. Prayer is a protocol. The prayer is laid out in the Lord's Prayer here. It's a protocol. Protocol doesn't mean it's a law or a formula. It just means it's God's preference. If you'll notice, the way things are laid out in the Lord's Prayer is the way things are laid out in a whole lot of the Psalms. When you start thinking about it, you start realizing the elements that he puts forth here are the elements that you see in many of the Psalms. You think maybe David was on to something? You know, the psalmists were on to something? They saw what God was looking for. They saw what pleased him. If we're dating somebody, don't we find out what they like and what pleases them? I mean, I know most gentlemen, they'll do anything that they can. When they have their eye on a young lady, they're going to do whatever it is that she likes, and they're going to have their eye on that thing until the mission is accomplished. And they're supposed to continue that theory. That's what. As we know what someone likes, we know what their preference is. Our presentation is of the things that are their preference. And somehow we kind of leave the rest of the baggage over there. But if we'll come to God and we'll see, what is his preference? What is his preference? And we'll come to him with those preferences. You know what? Unlike our earthly relationships, he will actually deal with the other baggage over there. So he knows what we need. And he knows that in order to get us where we're supposed to go, we need to develop a relationship. And that relationship starts right here. And it says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It says, pray then, verse 9, in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with a very personal, possessive pronoun, our. We have to take ownership of the relationship. We have to realize it's a possessive thing. It's not just somebody's God. It's not just somebody else's relationship that we're talking about, but it's mine, ours. Mine and anyone who wants to share in him, but I'm going to have my part. Our Father. We have to recognize that he does want to be that, fill that Father role within us. That role that's in some cases that we may not have had filled in the natural, but he wants to fill that father role. We may not even know how to model that, but he wants to model it for us. And it must come from a place when we realize it's our Father, we must believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6 tells us because faith believes that he is. Because we have to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. And see, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Other versions say diligently seek him. Because prayer operates by faith. And to have faith, you must believe that he is. You must believe that he is your heavenly Father. You must believe that he has a good end for you. That he desires good things for you. If you're always anticipating harm or hurt, you're not going to pursue that relationship very much. If you're anticipating good things, if you're anticipating reward from this relationship, then you're going to pursue it. The same back to our courting example. If you're expecting a reward for that effort in that relationship, then you're going to pursue it with a much greater fervor. By believing that he is, by standing in faith, by coming into agreement with faith, then you begin to make your prayers effective. For the prayer of a righteous man will availeth much. And it has to become because it comes from that place of faith that it stirred within you. And what I want to highlight today then is really the next part. It says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That word for hallowed, that's basically saying holy. Holy is thy name. This is a way of honoring. It's a way of honor, to honor him. Hallowed means holy, sanctified, set apart. See, there has to be a recognition within us that he is holy. It seems kind of simple. But the reality is, how many of us really understand just how different that is? The fear of the Lord is something that we all need and desire. Because see, the fear of the Lord brings a difference of perspective. As we begin to recognize who he is and as we reverence who he is, that will automatically keep us from doing the things that we're not supposed to do. Because as we recognize who he is, as we recognize that holiness that he exists within, because he is holy, he is all that is holy. It's not just something that he puts on him, it's something that he is. And when we begin to see that, we approach him differently. We approach him with the reverence and the honor that he deserves. We approach him with a respect and an awe that's different. It's so easy for us to come into the house of God and be worried and thinking about everything else but being in front of him. Because we're not reverencing who he is. We're not walking in that fear of the Lord. But I guarantee, even the glory of the former house in Solomon's temple, it said that the glory of God so filled the place that it burst through the doors, burst through the curtains and out into the street, and they were laid out. That even the priests could not stand in there. When the holiness of God shows up, everybody's going to be on the floor. When the holiness of God shows up, There's a change that happens in the atmosphere, and it doesn't matter who you are or what's going on in your life. There's a change that happens that brings an mighty anointing, and you're not in your flesh going to be able to withstand it. You stand in those places by the Spirit alone. As you allow the Spirit to guide you, as you allow the Spirit to come forth within you, then you're beginning to take your place in the understanding of His holiness. As we honor Him, as we honor who He is, as we honor His holiness, it becomes a gateway into more of His presence. It becomes a gateway into knowing who He is and allowing Him to come forth in our life. Some of what we experienced this morning was birthed in that place. As we honor who He is, the prayers that came forth were prayers that ascend. In other words, they were prayers to Jesus. They were prayers to the Father. The recognition of who He is. As we just stand in that place and we just recognize that, we can begin to change something within us. I can tell you from my own experience that even just the simple practice of repeating the names of God and doing it with reverence, doing it with a wholeheartedness, will change you. You will come in automatically into a recognition of the holiness of God. And because you become more in a recognition of the holiness of God, the other things that you found unpleasant in your life begin to fall off. You don't have to worry about dealing with that part because the Holy Spirit deals with that part. It's not something that you even necessarily have to put a conscious thought into. But the other things will begin to set themselves aside because you're recognizing who He is. When you just simply begin to say, talk to Him about who He is, that He is your Prince of Peace. He is the Great I Am. He's the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. As you begin to just let these things roll from your tongue, as you begin to see Him as your advocate, standing there between you and the Father, standing there between you and the enemy, as you see Him as your intercessor, crying out on your behalf, there's a change that happens inside of you. This is the first step to a greater walk with Him. And it's very simple. It's not difficult. Every one of us here can do it. It becomes a gateway to the Spirit. The first little while that I did it, it seemed kind of mechanical. It was kind of like this. Let's see if I can. Maker of the heavens, creator of the heaven and earth, lover of our soul, mighty King, Lord of lords, captain of the armies, King of glory. But see, after a while it became King of glory. Because I observed it. I meditated it. You are my Lord of lords and my King of kings. You are my rock on whom I depend. You are the rock from which I spring. You are the foundation that stands underneath me. You are the foundation upon which I am based. You are my hope and my exceedingly great army that goes before me. You are the one who wants to change the world on my behalf. See, there's a life that begins to spring forth in those words. Because as you begin to see that he's operating in those places, as you begin to see there's a faith that's generated because it's no longer you, but it's the very Word of God going forth on your behalf. It's the very Word of God going forth and changing everything that surrounds and concerns you. And as you allow that to happen, then you begin to you step out of this flesh suit that we're wearing and into the realm of the Spirit. And it's simple. And every one of us in here can do it. It's a way of ascending into His presence. One of the first times that I ever let anybody catch me at it, I had been doing this for like an hour and a half before anybody showed up. And people began showing up, and I was just playing the keyboard like this morning. And that's all I was doing. I was just saying, "You are my Lord of Lords, my King of Kings. You are the Prince of Peace, the Lion of Judah that goes before me." And for an hour and a half, I just worshiped Him. I just opened up my heart and let Him begin saying those things through me. Because after a while, it's no longer you saying them. It's like He's saying them through you. And everyone as they came in, and no one said anything to anybody. There was no other words being spoken. But every person that came in the door that morning took their shoes off back here and walked up here and just fell on the floor and began to worship God because the spirit of holiness was in here. There's a holiness that happens as we recognize who this God is. As we recognize all of the greatness that's within Him, as we recognize all of His ability to change us, as we recognize all the ability He has to change even the very DNA of this earth. The DNA that's within you. The DNA in each and every one of you. He's able to change these things. He's able to breathe life where there was no life. Whoosh. And it changes. He's able to bring love where there was no love. He's able to bring truth where there was only deception. And as we recognize that He is that truth, that's how we recognize that He can come to our aid. That's how we recognize Him and know that we can stand with Him. Romans 13 and 7 tells us to render honor to whom honor is due. There are certain people that we should render honor to. But by God, every person should be rendering honor to our Holy Father. Every person should be rendering honor to our Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I think you can... One of the things, one of the keys is you can begin to recognize that you can honor them separately. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside you. He is the one who is the helper. The paraclete, the one who comes alongside. He's the one who comes to educate you. To train you. To lift you up. The Holy Spirit is there as your, the earnest of your inheritance. With all the power and all the authority that He has, it's like a down payment on what's coming. He's the one who comes to bring forth your inheritance. To bring forth the transformation. It's not up to you to do it by your works. It's going to be done by the Spirit of God. Your part is to yield and allow Him to do it. He wants to lift you up. He wants to bring you to a place where you bear fruit. It's amazing how many different things you can find about each aspect of the Lord when you start looking. When you come into this place, you can make just a list of different names that you want to. You want to approach Him with. But it's not just about repeating the names, becoming involved in it. Letting it grab all of your attention for the time that you're with Him. If you can spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour or whatever that time is and become involved with it, thinking about nothing else but focused on who He is and what this looks like. As you see it, grab a hold of it. And sometimes when I'm up here worshiping, you may see me just do this with both hands, and I just grab a hold, and I'm just grabbing a hold of some thought that God has right now, and I'm going to hold on to this thing until I squeeze every ounce of whatever of anointing out of it. Because I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to find that which is pleasing in His sight. I want to know that which gives Him glory and bears fruit in my life. So take a hold of those things. Draw them in and hold them. Hold them close to you until you understand what it meant. One at a time, what does it mean for Him to be your King? What does it mean for Him to be your Lord? What does it mean for Him to be your advocate, your intercessor? What does it mean for Him to be your Prince of Peace? What does it mean for Him to be your firm foundation, that hope that does not disappoint? So recognize, don't just repeat the words, but recognize the truth in it. Recognize the strength in it. Recognize the ability to change in it. That's where the transformation begins. That's where the recognition and the atmosphere of holiness that's going to come around your life begins. Because as you recognize who He is, then He gets to become that in you. It's no longer just a word, but it's rhema life within you. I've waited a long time to get to say this, to talk about these things, because I know that it transformed my life, and I know that it'll transform your life, and I know it's very, very simple. God made the things of His Spirit to be simple. To be simple, that we could grasp, that we could hold it. And as we hold it near us, then it becomes a prayer within us, a prayer that never ceases, a prayer that is always bringing forth fruit. And the Bible speaks of that prayer that never ceases. And as you begin to honor Him, that can become that prayer. Because you initially will be verbalizing it. But after a while, all you have to do is just begin to think it. As you go through your job, I'm delivering another package, but I'm recognizing that He is my King of Kings, my Lord of Lords. He's the Mighty One, the Warrior who's going out before me. And He's arriving there even before I do. Because He's preparing my way. That's what He wants to do. He wants to become consuming in that, and in that allows Him to shed His love upon you, to shine His love into your life. And not only that, to use you to shine love into someone else's life, even when they're not lovely. Amen? We can't change by focusing on our sin. There's lots of good things that are done in the 12-step programs and whatnot, but I take exception with that part of it, because we can't change by continuing to focus on what we were. We got to focus on who He is and who we are becoming when we become like Him. When we're looking into the mirror of God, when we're looking into that mirror and we're beginning to see ourselves become more and more and more like Him. As we begin to reassure ourselves, because see, the greater that we see God, then the less we see our problem. I read a book not long ago by R.G. Letourneau, and he said, there are no big problems, only too small a machine. There are no big problems, only too small of a machine. And he was talking about, this is the man who moved literal mountains, who founded, you know, some of the greatest earth-moving equipment, made, well, the Caterpillar. All those ideas and designs came from him. In World War II, much of our equipment that we used to gain entrance into these countries, the floating bridges and things like that, that were all built by Letourneau, or all designed by Letourneau. Yeah. This man accomplished great things because he believed in a greater God. The same thing for us. The bigger that we see our God, the smaller our problem seems. As we begin to remind ourselves through this process of seeing Him and honoring Him and reminding ourselves of who He is, we're creating a situation where He is the Holy God. As we honor Him, everything else comes into perspective. So I encourage you to begin putting it into practice. It's simple. It doesn't require much of you except a willingness. But I guarantee that as we do so, if we begin to engage Him like that, then very soon, things like what were happening here this morning, everyone in the whole congregation will be able to just step in and be involved. What happened here was beautiful. It's a step in the right direction. Now let's take another step. Let's take another step. Let's begin to engage God in a whole new level in our personal lives. Let's begin to engage Him and receive of His holiness and begin to realize that we can ascend into that throne just because we want to.